February 11. And at the outset, parenthetically, I'll announce that there is a majority committee report on SJR 1 relating to the Equal Rights Amendment, which will be distributed at the end of the meeting. And Senator Paul Fisher has prepared a minority report on the same subject, which will also be distributed. And I want to thank you, Senator Fisher, for that and for, in my judgment, the high level of the presentation, so that both sides of that issue will be fairly put before the Senate. Moving on, we have before us Senate Bill 18. And when we were here last, we had the original bill by Senator Petula. There is now a committee substitute, I think, in your folders. Briefly, the proposed committee substitute includes the Mat-Su Community College for its science laboratory and another $12.5 million for community colleges without specification. We had a request for $10,620,000 for an administration and classroom building at the Anchorage Community College Phase 1, and a request at Sitka, $6.5 million facility, and a Tanana Valley, I take it, Community College Phase 2 planning and design request for $1.5 million. And a proposed Prince William Sound Community College classroom, laboratory, and office design for $0.45 million. Does anybody wish to be heard on the SB 18 or the committee substitute? Does anybody here testify? Yes, sir. Could you take this chair opposite me and identify yourself? Here.
I'm not the first person on that list. You want to go in the order of the list? Or
you are?
Jerry Harris.
Why don't you begin since you're seated? You're from the Sitka Community College, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I must confess that I had only seen, I'd only seen an earlier version of this and only heard what the funds were designated for. This is a somewhat more encouraging thing, as I would understand it at this point, although the $12.5 million is not specified, and I'm not sure what the result of that would be. But I certainly would like to speak in support of community colleges and their need for facilities. And in particular, I wanted to say a word in behalf of Sitka Community College and its need for facilities. I'll try to do that very briefly. Sitka Community College has been seeking a second building since 1980 and before. The enrollment growth in the last three semesters has brought our need for space to a crisis level. We have fewer square feet than any of the other 10 community colleges in the state of Alaska. And yet we've served more students in recent semesters than any of the other 9 pre-locations, except Tanana Valley in Fairbanks and Kenai, places that have much larger population bases. We have fewer square feet than Chukchi Community College in Kotzebue, which has a limited mission, a mission limited to only transfer students. There's a rural education center in Delta Junction that has as many square feet as our building. There is another rural education center in Dillingham that has nearly as many square feet as we have. We have only about half the space of the next smallest in space community college, Northwest in Nome. And yet in spring semester 1982, we had nearly twice as many students. The University Board of Regents budget for FY84 recognized our needs and included $6.5 million for our Phase 2 building. Governor Sheffield's original capital budget did not include this item, just as it did not include a number of the other items that you're considering here today. Community colleges provide opportunities for all kinds of people. rich and poor, young and old, they are, to use a corny phrase, people's colleges. And it looks like their support must come from the people's representatives. So I urge that you continue that support by passing a bill that does substantially provide construction for the crowded community colleges. And I especially urge that you not let this session of the legislature go by without giving the help that Sitka Community College seeks, so that we can more adequately serve the 9,000 square miles of Alaska that are our assignment.
Now, my notes indicate that there is a phase two building request on your campus for $6.5 million.
That is correct.
What is the building and what is phase one? How much is this?
Phase one is the currently existing, the only building that we have. It has 5,600 square feet in that facility. 5,650 square feet. And phase two would have about 12,000 usable square feet, or about something like 16,000 gross square feet. The most prominent feature of it would be space for Votech labs, shops. It would also include some additional office and classroom space, and it would include some student study lounge area. We currently have a room slightly smaller than this. That is the nearest thing we have for a place for faculty and students to study, drink coffee, or anything in between classes.
Now, is this project on the region's priority?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Are there other questions of Mr. Harris regarding the 50 community college?
Did you ever consider buying in at all the reserve exposure to the closure?
Yes, we have. There's a group headed by Mayor Dasovich in Sitka, of which I am a member, which has been very strongly pursuing continued BIA support of the Mount Edgecombe School, because we believe very much in the value of that school. It appears that we've just about reached a dead end on that trail. I'll be going back to for a meeting perhaps tomorrow or surely by Monday, in which that group will prepare a fallback position. And at that time, we may present an alternative to the idea of the construction of a new building for Sitka Community College that would involve, along with several other factors, our using facilities that are presently a part of the Mount Edgecombe College.
A note to me from Senator Kutula dated yesterday says, speaking of his committee substitute, the university requests we amend CSSB 18 Section 3, in which he refers to $12.5 million, without specification, to read Anchorage Community College Classroom Administration Building, $10.6 million, Tenenbaum Valley Community College Campus.
You can do that slow.
Anchorage Community College
Administration
Classroom Administration Building, $10.6 million. Tenenbaum Valley Community College Campus Facility Phase 2 Design, $1.4 million. Prince William Sound Community College Classroom Lab Office Design, $0.45 million. That would actually leave $50,000 of the original, of the $12.5 million referenced by the bill unappropriated.
$50,000?
It doesn't sound like we're included, does it?
Pardon me?
It doesn't sound like we are included.
This is why I asked where you fit into this planning process of the region.
I fit in the planning process in the same way where Sitka Community College does, that the entire university planning does. I say that because I've only been there for about 6 months. So actually, this particular budget planning was done before I arrived. We fit into the planning that arrives at the university's set of priorities for the year. We participate in that process actively, and we are working with the priorities for capital construction during FY84.
Now, that would mean if we follow. Yeah, if Mr. Tulo could clarify that, because that would mean that there would be a total of in excess of $35 million, almost $36 million.
Well, we spoke with the region's representative yesterday. She referred me to the original red budget book on page 33 and 34. She said that so far the legislature hasn't done anything with like the first eight and 84-11. So that brings us down to 84-11, the Prince William Sound Community College and TDCC. And if you go on over to 84-12, that's ACC, Classroom Administration. And now we take up the
12.5 minus 50,000. And that's, she was going with the 12.5 as the top that they could get. You know, we want to add, but I'll be more than happy to have them.
Well, the CIFCA becomes, the CIFCA
is at the bottom
Of those for, that's
right.
84-14,
right.
And of course, the housing comes under the other measure.
Correct.
Okay. So you're just beyond the.
It turns out that then what I'm doing is urging that you add this to the bill because it is desperately needed. We are in the kind of condition that we would be a good laboratory for psychologists to study what being crowded does to people. If we were not awful good people, we'd probably be tearing at each other's throats by now.
What amount of money is required to get CIFCA going?
The structure requested and recommended by the Board of Regents is priced at $6.5 million.
But I assume it has not been designed. Is the design finished?
No, it has not been.
In other words, what is needed at this point is design, since it's not ready to go ahead. Very often what is done is to appropriate funds for design. That's what's proposed for some of these others. And for instance, TVCC, mm-hmm. The proposal for design, Prince William Sound is for design also.
I know in the case of TVCC, they're talking about design of a project that ultimately would be $25 million project. Ours is smaller, and I assume, I can't tell you because I was not here, but the understanding of the university planners was that it could be designed and constructed, or construction could begin in FY84.
Mr. Chairman, the point I'm trying to arrive at is that probably something around $500,000 will get fiscal coins and design without requiring us to go to 6.5 if the committee decided to include fiscal.
It's important to my attention that in 82, the Fiscal Community College produced 5 associates at the degree level.
Well, I can't tell you for sure. We are in the process, of course, just beginning the survey to see exactly how many graduates we will have. I would have to tell you that certainly producing associate degrees has not been the primary feature of CIFCA Community College. However, this year, both fall and spring semester, we have had full-time students in excess of 40. Previously, we have never had full-time students in excess of 25. That would seem to me to indicate that we are going to go up substantially in the number of associate degrees in the future. Our service primarily is in job-related continuing education. And we do, of course, also produce the associate degree programs, both Associate of Applied Science and the Associate of Arts. One of the reasons it's a bit of difficulty in graduating the people in some of these areas, including the certificate program, is that we don't have any space. We have a, quote, one-year certificate program in welding, but we can only offer it over a two-year period because the only place in which we have to offer it is the high school's lab. It's our equipment, but it is their space, and we can only use it at night and on weekends.
Just one more question. How do you relate with or compete with the Sheldon Jackson?
That's a question I get asked often, and so I just happen to have a piece of paper with the details on it.
Well, if it's written down, maybe we can take it in written form.
It is very brief. The highlight of our cooperation with Sheldon Jackson College is the library that the two colleges share. The building belongs to Sheldon Jackson, but it is jointly operated. We contributed $42,000 for personnel and utilities alone last year, and another $11,200 for books. The library is made up of Sheldon Jackson books and Sitka Community College books, shelved together but marked separately. In addition, we buy certain courses, buy access for our students to certain courses at Sheldon Jackson, and
775 of their students took 130
credit hours at Sitka Community College, and our low price of $25 a credit hour quite a savings for Sheldon Jackson during the last year.
In addition, I say that President Mike Kelsey, the new president there, and I arrived at about the same time. We have quite different missions, and we can make the situation more cost effective for each institution to play a
mission, and that we can cooperate to make the situation more cost effective for each institution to carry out its mission.
Any other questions?
Thank you for coming over.
Thank you. So quick, I was on the next bill, but I do have one comment sent to Jefferson for the record. My name is Representative Terry Martin, and I'll be on the Finance Committee chairing the Subcommittee for the Universal Budget.
And the only concerns that I have on House Bill 18 is the appropriations for the classroom structure at the University of Fairbanks. And it's not that they need it, it's just that I had talked to Dr. Martin just yesterday. And they feel that their number one priority feel there should be the moving of the state ball administration alternative.
And a few other parts of where they have taken up office space that should be used for classroom, especially in the major central and Fairbanks Court area. That's only a function of what happened.
Instead of the $20 million for classrooms, the public they would prefer
So this would be direct knowledge.
Good laboratory for psychologists to study what being crowded does to people. If we were not of awfully good temper, we'd probably be tearing at each other's throats by now.
What amount of money is required to get Sitka going?
The structure requested recommended by the Board of Regents is priced at $6.5 million.
But I assume it has not been designed. Has the design finished?
No, it has not been.
In other words, what is needed at this point is design, since it's not ready to go ahead. It very often what is done is to appropriate funds for design. That's what's proposed for some of these others. And for instance, TVCC, mm-hmm. The proposals for design. Prince William Sound is for design also. Yeah, so it's
they are, I believe, talking, I know in the case of TVCC, they're talking about design of a project that ultimately would be $25 million project.
Right.
Ours is smaller, and I assume, but I can't tell you because I was not here, that the understanding of the university was that it could be designed and constructed, or construction could begin in
right.
FY84.
Mr. Chairman, the point I'm trying to arrive at is that probably something around $500,000 will get Sitka coin and design without requiring us to go to 6.5 if the committee decided to include Sitka.
It's been brought to my attention that in 82, the Sitka community college produced five associates at the degree level.
That's correct.
Do you want to be in the committee?
Well, I can't tell you for sure. We are in the process, of course, with getting the survey to see exactly how many graduates we will have. I would have to tell you that certainly producing associate degrees has not been the primary feature of Sitka Community College. However, this year, both fall and spring semester, we have had full-time students in excess of 40. Like previously, we had never had full-time students in excess of 25. That's been really indicated that our program is a global expansion.
Been the primary feature of Sitka Community College. However, this year, both fall and spring semester, we have had full-time students in excess of 40. Previously, we had never had full-time students in excess of 25. That would seem to me to indicate that we are going to go up substantially in the number of associate degrees in the future. Our service primarily is in job-related continuing education. And we do, of course, also produce the associate degree programs, both Associate of Applied Science and Associate of Arts. One of the reasons we have difficulty in graduating people in some of these areas, including the certificate program, is that we don't have any space. We have a, quote, one-year certificate program in welding, but we can only offer it over a two-year period because the only place in which we have to offer it is the high school's lab. It's our equipment, but it is their space, and we can only use it at night and on weekends.
Just one more question. How do you relate with or compete with the Southern Jackson?
That's a question I get asked often, and so I just happen to have a piece of paper with the details on it.
Well, if it's written down, maybe we can take it in written form.
It is very brief. The highlight of our cooperation with Sheldon Jackson College is the library that the two colleges share. The building belongs to Sheldon Jackson, but it is jointly operated.
We contributed $42,000 for personnel and utilities alone last year, and another $11,200 for books.
The library is made up of Sheldon Jackson books and Sitka Community College books, shelved together but marked separately. In addition, we buy certain courses, buy access for our students to certain courses at Sheldon Jackson, and some 75 of their students took 193 credit hours at Sitka Community College in our low price of $25 a credit hour, by savings for Sheldon Jackson during the last year. In addition, I'd say that President Mike Kelke, the new president there, and I, we arrived at about the same time. We are fully agreed that the two institutions have quite different missions and that we can cooperate to make the situation more cost-effective for each institution to carry out its mission.
Any other questions?
Thank you for coming over. I'd like to, if Levy will permit me, I'd like to call on Representative Martin next, since the legislator doesn't have other meetings to go to, and then I'll bring him on soon.
Terry,
I'll
wait for the next bill.
Okay. Well, actually, I didn't expect to go to see if they're quick. I was going to make a bill, but I do have one comment to Joseph Pudvekas. I'm going to invest them to Terry Martin, and I'll be on the Finance Committee chairing the Subcommittee for the University Budget. And the only concerns that I have on House Bill 18 is the appropriations for the class instructor at the University of Fairbanks. And it's not that they need it, it's just that I had talked to Dr. Barton just yesterday, and they feel that their number one priority up there should be the moving of the statewide administration off campus so that they would free up a tremendous amount of classroom space at the Gleaning Building, at the Bunnell Building, and a few other places where they have taken up office space that should be used for classrooms, especially in the major circle in the Fairbanks Court area. So that's only costing us a half a number.
You mean instead of the $20 million for classroom facilities, they would prefer administrative space off campus?
So this was the direction I was told last fall, and the other day I talked to Dr. Barton.
Senator Rick.
Mr. Chairman. Terry, where on the university priority list does that item appear?
I think in the Red Book, Senator, it should be about number three or four priority. It's number one priority in the governor's PRC type group.
I'm told that item may be in the governor's capital budget.
Yeah.
So we would not have to appropriate that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that you have two conflicting directions. And then if the university really feels that they should move off campus statewide administration to free up their classroom space, then you have two votes of concern.
Terry, assuming the university moves off campus and keeps our space in the Bell Greenwood Building, would that mean that they would not need this additional classroom building?
This is the first time, Senator.
I have not seen this in any place for this year's appropriation bill. I thought it was a bill. So I thought I should bring to your attention what we were talking about in the House, John.
Well, you'll get a crack at the bill.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Rick.
That's the only question I have on.
Okay,
that one, too. We'll take housing next.
David Levy.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Health Committee, ladies and gentlemen, my name is David Levy, and I am formerly the legislative representative for the Good Statewide Student Association, which represents all college students. Chairman, members of the Senate Health Committee, ladies and gentlemen, my name is David Levy, and I am a former legislative representative for the Alaska Statewide Student Association, which represents all college students statewide, affiliated with the University of Alaska system. And at the present time, I'm a student at the University of Alaska at Juneau. On December 6, 1982, Governor Sheffield's Transition Task Force Committee report was submitted to the governor's office and to the general public. And basically, it gave a general overview of state agencies. One of the recommendations it made dealt with the University of Alaska system, and it made a general statement, which was, quote, "The program of the university must be attractive and responsive to the needs of Alaska and Alaskans, and it also emphasize and being attractive to students from outside." Mr. Chairman, members, this has not been done. We have, as you know, as you've already seen, there are enormous gross inadequacies at University of Alaska at Anchorage and University of Alaska at Juneau. For example, at University of Alaska at Juneau, there is no, very simple, no lunchroom facility. And quite frankly, its location is in the middle of nowhere. And 3 miles away from Paris, which is the place to eat. The only full-time student UAJ you have to live on bag lunches or candy bars or
etc. So basically, basically, just to make among the three universities, one university that's money of the students, you know, serving. And one community, you know, which is, you know, the local, and one part of the community, you know, which is, you know. And by second, you know, well,
I'm a full-time student, UAJ. If you're going to be a full-time student at UAJ, you have to live on bag lunches or candy bars or soft drinks, etc. So basically, you could
brown bags.
Well, some of us don't have time to cook anyway. Basically, you could say that among our three universities, we have one university that's really meeting its needs, and that is in Fairbanks, and one community campus, which is in Anchorage, and one part-time community campus, which is in Juneau. And my second thing is, the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education puts out a book, the Alaska High School Senior Survey Report. And basically it asks, and this is last year's graduates, basically it asks students what their plans are for the future. If they're planning to go to college, you know, what they thought of their education in high school, etc. And one of the questions was asked why they're going to school in Alaska, and what their priorities were to going to school in Alaska at the University of Alaska. And their first priority was low tuition and expenses living in the state. And the second priority was living close to home. And way down the list on priorities for reasons going to the University of Alaska was availability of programs and the quality of programs. And yet, when asked what were their major concerns in going to college, their first priority was availability of programs and the quality of programs. And Mr. Chairman, that's a serious consideration that this body is going to have to take up, that the governor is going to have to take up, is the question, where do we want the university system to go? And I know in the university's Red Book, one of the main priorities is a master plan in which they can look down the road 5 to 10 years, and they can say, this is where we see enrollment, student enrollment, this is where we see, you know, our individual campuses, etc. But basically, I endorse SB 18 and 19. I think it's a good proposal, and it addresses the needs, particularly SB 19, for housing. Housing is, I can't speak for Fairbanks, and I know there's Ms. Carla Hart who will speak for the needs of Fairbanks, but I can't speak for Fairbanks, but I know that in Anchorage, it's a very bad situation. You have a 1.5% turnover rate, and you're forcing full-time students to compete with divorced mothers with four kids, or et cetera, for housing. So it's a very serious problem, and I endorse the fourth proposal.
Thank you.
Another
question?
I just asked one question.
Yes, I am. I just had a chance to quickly look at this, and I do. I think the need is there right away. And I think the planning, specifically in Anchorage, should have been done a few years ago. However, today is today, and I endorse the committee substitute proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Musk. Appreciate your testimony. Is Carla Hart here?
Yeah, I just speak really briefly on 18 and 19 if I'm concerned. My name is Carla Hart. I'm from the Associated Students, University of Alaska Fairbanks. I would just like to address what the $20 million class rating is. That does not have undergraduate classroom facilities. The building would be an extension. It's called LV2, Grand Familia Fairbanks Campus. It's an extension of the Geofiscal Institute, and it would house additional state offices and federal offices that are interrelated with the university research projects that take place, and it would also house more graduate programs. The
space that would be freed by the statewide administration moving off campus would be more in the line of undergraduate classroom space and undergraduate instructor space.
Well, as I understand it, there are two different facilities here, and one is in the governor's budget and one is not. And
yes.
This bill addresses the one that is not. Thank you. Senator Moss.
Mr. Chairman, through you, I would like to ask Carla how much money they're going to be asking for the new facilities for the administration's office off campus.
It's not a student priority, so I can't address it exactly. But I understand that the figure is $13 million.
That's just a move off and put them on off campus.
Put them all in under one roof.
By the way, does the movement of administration facilities off campus prejudice the accessibility of the administration to the student body? Do you know?
The student body doesn't have a lot of dealings with the statewide administration as much as with our campus wide, so I don't think it would fit us in that sense.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Senator Clark.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So that if, for example, you were the North Clark family, I don't, but the reason I bring that up, Mr. Chairman, is we talked $12 million for a structure that we could probably renovate an existing facility worth of $1.5 million. It should be administrative needs. That's why I'm wondering why we were able to do it. We could probably lease a building and do a lot cheaper job. But if you don't worry, I was wondering how far removed that was.
Yeah, no, I
could have
finished
everything.
This is on that on SB 18 committee structure.
Sure. And we'll close the hearing segment. What's the pleasure of the committee on 18, Senator Fitzgerald?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the committee. Additional sections, that section 3 be deleted, and in lieu of that, appropriate language be inserted to appropriate the amounts specified on the February 10 memo by Senator Petula, plus the addition of Sitka Community College campus phase 2 design in the amount of $0.55 million, which would add a total of $500,000 to the fiscal note, to the funding information at the top.
As I understood it, the addition of the specific items, or the insertion of the specific items, for Anchorage, Tanana Valley, and Tripoli and Sound would expend all but $50,000 of the amount in Section 3.
Right. And so...
And so if you add $5.5 million, is that what you're saying?
No, $0.55 million.
Oh, $0.55 million.
Which picks up the $50,000 plus adds $500,000 to the $12.5 appropriation.
And that would be just for design work.
Right. It would be phase 2 design, bond design, $0.45. Sitka, 0.55.
It would enhance because it would be a specific.
Yeah. That way it couldn't be moved to something else. It would specify that QBCC would get the money.
Okay, as long as they got the next amount they need for the second phase, that's good.
The figure of $550,000 for design, as whether it's within. Is exorbitant or inadequate or reasonable?
I am not a construction expert. I certainly would be happy to check with the university's facilities planning and construction department and find out whether that is the appropriate figure. I'm very grateful for that kind of commitment, at least to a start for us.
Senator Fisher?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I would suggest that for the time being, we might move with that until
until we have further notice, and then request that it be provided to the Finance Committee.
If the committee wishes, we can act on this motion. Staff will prepare the committee substitute in the form indicated, and when we meet on Monday, we will have that retyped version of the committee substitute available for action by the committee. And if you will notify me by Monday afternoon, in case that figure is awry, and I'd appreciate you notifying us if it's too much for the design.
I'm on here, $61,600,000. To where we'd be looking at $62,400,000,
right?
Yes, that's
yeah.
Correct.
I don't know.
Well, we could take both.
Actually, we've took out a lot of it.
Well, is there objection to the preparation of the committee substitute on the basis Senator Vic Fisher has proposed, reserving individual comments when you see the document Monday?
Okay.
If not, we'll consider that done and move on to Senate Bill 19 at this time. Senator Gilman, you wish to be heard on Senate Bill 19.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Senator Don Gilman from, I still haven't got that set up. It's either Senate seat, the Senate District A and seat D, or vice versa. Mr. Chairman, I've submitted to your staff, and also I think there might be in, I don't know whether it's in the package or not, but I think it is. Housing study that has been completed approximately a year ago, maybe a little longer than that, at the insistence of the Community College Advisory Board, and with the blessing of the Board of Regents as far as the study was concerned. It was conducted through and with the realtors and the various owners of housing in the United Peninsula or Central Peninsula area. What, you know, the upshot of the request from Kenai Peninsula Community College for housing goes to one specific program that they have, which is the oil petroleum technology program that brings students from all over the state to that. And I might say for the record that program is sponsored in part by the Soohow Petroleum. I believe they subsidize 22 students annually in that program. They're very careful that those students are chosen from throughout the state. It's a two-year program. They get an Associate of Arts degree in petroleum technology when they finish. The unique part of it is that they work for Soohow on the North Slope in the summertime, and they earn their next year's out of the okay. Then in his second year, his room and board out of his summer key. So it's somewhat of a work-study program. That program has a waiting list. The Central Peninsula is, just like almost everywhere else, it's out of housing. The studies that you have before you were done a year ago, and they've been compounded since then. So we presented this, Mr. Chairman, to both houses last year, and the bills that passed in bond issues had the planning design money for a particular facility approved by vote of both houses, and of course it was vetoed by the governor's all bonds. And I'm making the presentation to this committee with that in mind, that it is something that stood the test of last year's legislature. Kind of surprisingly, what has happened is that the university did have that in their 1985 five-year plan a year ago, and in their five-year plan this year, it isn't there any longer. And the only Chairman, is District 5 no longer has a member on the Finance Committee anywhere along the line, and I'm not sure that that had anything to do with it or not, but that is the only item that we can find that has changed as far as any of the circumstances. I would be happy to answer any questions that you have might have about particular housing. I think it's straightforward. The research is done. We have not asked for, we put in back in exactly the same amount that was requested, slightly less than a year ago.
May I ask if you ask Senator Gilman if we couldn't save 9.9 million out of Section 1 there, because they say they are appropriating from the general fund for to the University of Alaska for acquisition of land for the Anchorage campus. It seems to me the university's got a hell of a lot of land scattered all over this state. Why can't we do some horse trading?
Well, I think Senator Moss right now, and I'm not in the, you're putting me in a unique position that I might have to defend the university, which I'm not really used to. We have not resolved their problems with their land yet. They do not have. They still, you know, it's rolling around in front of us now to resolve some of the university land problems. And I don't know where this figure comes from. I don't know anything about the Anchorage Bowl in terms of where land is, what land can be traded around, and so on. But I agree with you in general principle with what you're saying is that there seems to be, there's an awful lot of publicly owned land. And for land to be purchased, I have some problems with it. I understand
state land
that there
in
are
a lot of places.
Pardon?
We have state land in a lot of places, but I'm just looking at university land.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that much.
Maybe we can sell our argument with them by letting them have $9.9 million worth of their land on the side here for a while.
So I don't know. That's a separate issue. I'm not familiar with it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just try and shed some light on this, the $9.9 million is part of an agreement reached between the University of Alaska and Alaska Pacific University in consultation with the governor and the legislature to effect a land transfer from APU, a means of funding certain, you might say, an endowment in effect for APU. And the land is in the critical location because it's adjacent to UAA. It's the land necessary for university expansion. And I'm sure that APU would not want to take land in the Matsu Valley in the capital site or up in Fairbanks and trade because they are in need of the funds, not substitute lands. Because they're giving up land that is really surplus to their immediate needs.
Seems logical to me. They get the land the other places, they can sell it. Land in Alaska's going up.
Mr. Chairman, I might just point out that this is part of a signed agreement between the various parties, and I for one hope that we can stay with it. As you will see, the proposed funding under the committee substitute is significantly below the bill that was initially introduced already.
Mr. Chairman. I brought the question up because there's a number of other factors that are involved in state land, university land, and so forth. So just putting up a trial, but I think we should really...
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I would conclude my testimony unless there is a...
well, we'd like to
question here, but with a statement that Kenai Community College does have sufficient land to meet their expansion needs, that has come about from a private donation to the university, Kenai Peninsula Community College, a land that lay adjacent to the campus. It was donated as a memorial to what's called the Bateman Memorial Fund, and it's set aside for specifically expansion of the university or Kenai Peninsula Community College. And also does have in the covenant for housing. Not it can't be used. It can be used for other things, but it specifically says for housing.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not opposed to it. I think it should be done as soon as possible. But I just want to bring these facts out that I think we should start looking a little bit harder at
before us, in our prior consideration of this, the original Senate Bill 19, which would have appropriated $20 million from the general fund to the University of Alaska for construction of the Anchorage Dormitory Complex, and $10 million for construction of the Fairbanks Dormitory Complex. And my recollection is that then we asked, a question was brought up about using a combination of general fund and revenue bonds. And a committee substitute has been drafted for our consideration by Senator Vic Fisher. Would you like to explain how you got there? You mentioned a minute ago that the funding here is substantially less than the original bill, and you might explain how you came to do that.
Mr. Chairman, we tried to pursue the possibility of using revenue bonding to cover construction of student housing on the Anchorage and Fairbanks campuses, and then at the same time we started looking at Juneau as well. It turned out that the income stream required to cover bond payments has to be 150% of actual bond payment on the basis of a 70% occupancy rate and not an unreasonably high rental rate, which would mean that effectively Anchorage and Juneau alone without a subsidy would not be bondable. Fairbanks alone might be if the revenue from other housing were included. We also found it, so the revenue bonding alone just wouldn't stand on its own feet for Anchorage and certainly not for Juneau. Other thing that we found was that Anchorage is not construction this year, and an amended title which covers land acquisition, because part of the land would be used for other than student housing purposes, and the original inclusion of that land in student housing might cause future problems. We then would provide $1 million for planning and engineering plans for student housing in Anchorage, and we were assured by the university that $1 million would do it. $11 million for actual construction of student housing on the Fairbanks campus. They're ready to go. It's on their priority and the university priority list, and they can go into construction this summer if the funds are made available. We would further appropriate $1 million for planning, including engineering, for student housing at the Juneau campus. Juneau has, for a variety of reasons, been included in the governance plans for appropriation this year. We find that...
What's the variety of reasons?
Count them on one hand, one finger.
I would say principally all the reasons are political. But Juneau is not ready for construction, and again the university advised that $1 million would adequately cover the necessary preliminary planning and design studies for that campus. A very important part of the proposal is the letter of intent, which is with the proposed committee substitute. It states that the legislature is making a commitment to provide student housing at Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau as expeditiously and cost-effectively as possible. It further provides that construction of facilities in Fairbanks be accomplished so that occupancy could be by the fall semester of 84 and Anchorage and Juneau by fall semester of 85. It further clearly delineates that construction funding is for housing at UAF, and it explains that FY82 funded planning and design makes it possible, and then clearly states that Anchorage and Juneau planning and design is to be so carried out that construction could commence in 1984. Further, we ask that the Anchorage and Juneau planning funds include a detailed analysis and report to legislature on funding options for construction costs. These options are to include an analysis of revenue bonding and other, what would essentially be revenue-related private sector funding possibilities. And the analysis, in the analysis, income derived from Fairbanks housing constructed under this appropriation shall be considered as part of revenues necessary to support debt repayment. The concept here being that, in effect, the advance appropriation, this year's appropriation for Fairbanks, would help with revenue financing and any other financing for the Anchorage and Juneau campuses, because the revenues derived from student rentals would then be available to retire any revenue bonds issued for Anchorage and Juneau construction. Again, we've checked this out with the university people, and we've talked with bond people, and this approach seems most appropriate and expeditious. I did not take the initiative to include the $2.2 million for Kuskokwim for Representative Vasquez's recommendation, because he, I have no indication from the committee whether this should be considered, nor was Senator Gilman's proposal before me, and I wouldn't have put it in anyway without further action by the committee. Anyway, the funding required to proceed with the revised approach covering Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks would effectively take the $30 million that would have been appropriated under the original Senate Bill 19 and the $13 million, or whatever the amount is for Juneau, which comes to about $43 million proposed total appropriation, and reduce it to $22.9 million to provide the basis for Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau student housing.
I think if I were to concur there, I would personally want to, of course, make clear that the letter of intent is from the committee, unless it's adopted by the body as a whole. I think the report would have to come back to us in the second session. I would want that, unless it's impossible to do so, I'd want to specify that the report would be before us in January 1994. And I would want to make clear that if the finding is that the revenue bonding or private and or private sector funding possibilities do not exist, that we still want to go forward. I don't want to leave an implication that if those reports are negative, the whole thing goes back and gathers dust.
Mr. Chairman, my intent in preparing this was exactly what you stated, because it says that the options reviewed will include but not be limited to revenue bonding. It's just that I was hoping the university wouldn't automatically come back and say appropriate full construction funds.
I think we agree. I'm just addressing the content of the letter. I'm drafting the letter. Representative Martin?
Yeah. Thank you again, Senator. I'm going to have to, for the record, my name is Representative Terry Martin, and I'm representing this 13. And I think with the new committee substitutes, we'll have to differ quite a bit from it, Senator Fisher. Part of the problem here with this bill and with the letter of intent is that it seems like we're going to cross many bridges that we've crossed for the past 10, 13, 14 years. If we go back to the report in 1972 that was authorized by the Board of Regents and Lassen State Housing Authority, it made it very clear the number of options that are available for housing in Anchorage. They at that time did an extremely good job and told about the crisis situation in Anchorage for student housing. So the problem has grown year after year, and it seems like we want more and more reports. In that particular report, they did talk about the revenue sharing. They did talk about private funding, which was very low on the totem pole as the way to do it. They did talk about many other issues, but that was just one report in 1972. Since that time, sir, there have been reports that made up very recently, and I'd like to present those to the committee, that will answer some of the questions that Senator Fisher has asked about. First, I'd like to pass this to the committee for your record, sir. The 1,150 students on their own last year who asked for housing and who were very positive last year when we passed the bond issue, and with all the hard work and the letters to the governors and so
latest enrollment figure of 1981, they showed
these
numbers.
These are pure bodies, you say?
Well, yes, they're not.
They should have no trouble finding housing.
You notice some of the situations we have in agencies counting the heads and counting credit unions and counting all kinds of things. I'm talking about human bodies. Mm-hmm. So we see in the Anchorage area compared to the other universities, three major cities, how many in Anchorage supposedly need housing. Now, of that, not only do we have the bodies that are needed, this next report will show you the major reason why Anchorage students, I feel, are really being discriminated against, because they are literally forced to borrow about $2,000, $2,500 more per academic year because of the only available thing for them is high cost housing. Now, I have at my office, and I'll be glad to give it to the committee to study, a detailed report of how many students are in throughout the Anchorage Bowl, out in the River Shugak, and how many distance miles they travel each day. Because when you see that map, you get a real visual point that it is no more than, we just can't say that people can walk the street and go to the university. Some of them travel as much as 20 miles one way to get to school each day. But the main thing is that without proper housing, we are forcing those students to take out about $2,000 to $2,500 more per year on student loans.
Well, I don't understand the, I don't want to interrupt you, Terry, but I don't understand my colleague to be less zealous about student housing than anyone else. I understand that he's saying that the design had to be done first, and it would be, and since there may be funding options we could look at, his program would be as expeditious as any we could adopt. But you don't agree with that either?
No, sir. I'm going to bring up some of the other reports. The university disagrees with it, too. Number one, as the senator said, it's purely politics. If we not played politics last year, the housing need for not only Anchorage and Kenai Peninsula, because I wholeheartedly supported the needs last year, we passed it in the House, everyone was in unison. And it came back from the Senate minus Anchorage. That shows pure politics. It had nothing to do with needs in any way, shape, or form. They said Juneau needed it for accreditation. I say they needed it to attract students. That's right. If they can get the housing, fine. But that's one way we can get housing in Anchorage. What I'm afraid of is that this is a weak approach to stopping the problem.
What do you suggest?
I suggest we get hard-nosed about it, treat all three major institutions equally or not at all. Another example, sir, Senator Fisher mentioned that Fairbanks got the seed money last year. I helped work that out with the Fairbanks legislature. That was amendment number 16 at the last minute on the bill. Ours was 17. Anchorage, $2.2 million for architecture, engineering, and design, got scraped out. Those stayed in. We talk about politics? We're not talking about the fact. I can give you the facts, showing you we've been over these bridges time and time again. I think it's time now that we're going to say we'll treat all of them equally. Revenue bond? Let's look at revenue bond, what's happened to Fairbanks. They went into revenue bond to get to a second phase of housing. They had two more years to pay that off. If it was worthwhile, they could have invested in their own campus before. Revenue bond does not help immediately. We will not be able to receive money for 4 or 5 years.
So in essence, you're saying that you prefer the original version of the Senate bill?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Pure cash.
Now, what would your... You're a member of the House Finance Committee, and you may be privy to information that I'm not. What would be your position if the committee substitute had a better chance of gaining approval from the governor and the bodies than the original bill would have? Or do you think that's not within the realm of possibility?
Well, the committee substitute probably had the better chance of passing if the Anchorage delegation does not stick together. This committee substitution here, sir, puts off housing, I would say 4 or 5, maybe 6 years, because we are dependent on the revenue bonding of the other university. And I don't think that we can get it in 1985. And other documents here, let's talk about revenue bonding and the other option. This was done by the University of Fairbanks just the other day, last December. So we don't have to waste money or time on reports. Here it is for you now, sir. What is the best option?
Just one more question. Representative Martin, you've been a a fighter for this for a long time, and I recognize that. But I have to ask the question whether it is defensible if there are no designs and no funding mechanism that we've all concurred in to proceed on the basis of cash for the facility that is not yet designed.
Mr. Chairman, I do believe that there should be some seed money, and I think that should be in the supplemental appropriations, so that Anchorage, for probably $1 million, can do the designing and the land preparation and so on. We do not need a major architectural design. I've talked to the housing specialist in Fairbanks. The new facility that's thinking up there for the students will fit us perfectly in the same land. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's the same dorm, same facility. Not a dorm, but same kind of apartment-like complex will suit us perfectly.
Senator, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm as hard-nosed as my friend who represents part of my Senate district, and but I apparently I'm much more fiscally conservative. It seems to me that this year, when there have to be a lot of trade-offs made, that if we don't have to appropriate funds, we should not put monies out that are not going to be spent this year. Now, in terms of the politics of it, Mr. Chairman, I am convinced that we can just as effectively pass this if we need 100% construction funding through appropriation, we can do it next year just as easily and effectively as we can do it this year, once we have knowledge of the exact requirements and so on. But if we appropriate $20 million, we're not going to get the building constructed any sooner. It's sort of akin to if you wanted to decide to become a doctor by the end of the summer, then $1 million wouldn't make a doctor out of you. I think that we should go about it systematically. The purpose of the letter of intent is to make a commitment that by fall of 85, we will have housing in Anchorage. Whether we appropriate monies next session directly, or whether we use revenue bonds or whatever other approach.
Have you seen the letter of intent that was drafted?
Yes, I've made notes on it.
That's why I think if the letter of intent is the device, it ought to be clear that we're making a firm commitment, because I don't want to come back here and have it declared that, well, we only authorize an exploration to see if it could be done by revenue bonds, and it can't be. I mean, I very much want to avoid that, and I appreciate your concerns. I think Senator Moss had a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a comment, Representative Martin. I suspect that you're right as far as politics of this thing is concerned. I have a concern that we have an Anchorage group here trying to rip the whole university system out of Fairbanks and move it to Anchorage. That's one of my problems. My other question is, why don't we bus them? I've got students in my...
Baku.
Bus them.
From Fairbanks to Anchorage, or...?
we've got students that go to high school and elementary school in my district that are bused 140 miles a day. So 20 miles wouldn't be too far to bus them, and I don't think it would be too much of a deal. I just thought I'd suggest
it. It's a very good question, sir. I wholeheartedly agree with the senator. But if you want economy and busing, since Fairbanks is a much, much smaller area drawn from a much smaller population, maybe it would be better to bus them in shorter distance than to take the whole Anchorage bowl where you're going 20 and 30 miles in one way. So maybe busing would be a solution, and we don't need housing in Fairbanks.
Yeah, we don't need housing in any of them.
I discern a certain sectionalism.
you're absolutely right, Senator. And the point is that I'd love to share in Senator Vick's optimism, but I don't think we've been burned too many times. Juneau has it. Through the governor budget, you know as well as I do, they're going to get their money. We're giving it to Fairbanks. You mean to tell me after all the time, in the last 4 years, we have tried for Anchorage housing, no matter how small, that suddenly the other body of legislators is going to give in to us?
Well, I understand that Senator Fisher is proposing in Juneau that they also have $1 million for design work and not the
I take it if the legislature adopts that, would supersede the idea of $13 million in cash for the campus at Juneau. I agree with you that I would not countenance. I would go to Mexico and my amigo there instead of back home to Anchorage. The idea that where both campuses need design work, that Juneau gets the design and cash money to build it while we get in Anchorage just design. I think he's avoided that.
I would go with you.
So, number one, when we went Fairbank.
Mr. Halpert will wave goodbye at your
when we went Fairbank and saw you didn't have the opportunity to meet the gentleman that's in charge of the housing, so that he spent about 3 hours with the Anchorage delegate, and he really gave us a good history of what we should do, what we shouldn't do. We don't have to redevelop the whole process in Anchorage. I would wholeheartedly, and I'm sure the statewide administration would say, Fairbanks has the final answer, the best answer, and I know Legal Card would agree. So we won't have to redesign anything. Gets that where we're going to place it is the question. The Senator brought up a good question about economy, and this is one of my major reasons. If we want to really look at this thing in a mercenary way, it's only by Anchorage Housing that are we going to be able to leverage our student loans much better. Number one, the students are going to have to borrow much less comparable price to what Fairbanks is doing. So when the student loans, you're going to save about $2,000 a year. Number two, that money gets spent right in the state. And one gentleman, Mr. Levi, brought up a real good book, and post-secondary has done this for a number of years, a high school survey. For some reason, more and more students in Anchorage want to go to the local community college and to the University of Anchorage. The number one reason they're being forced out, as he mentioned, was program non-availability. Number two, housing. The students do want a decent campus. It's not going to be in conflict with Fairbanks because Fairbanks offers different programs, completely different programs. The students who are leaving the state from Anchorage area are going out because there's no other option. We don't have housing for them. We don't have programs. Talk about economy. We can maximize our student body money. $37 million going out of state. Maximize more of that staying in state.
Will you yield to the question, Senator?
Well, I just my not a question, it's a statement. But Terry, I agree with you. Having gone through that, we lost every step of the way.
You went to the other side.
And as far as I'm concerned, I co-sponsored a bill that had a pretty good ratio for Anchorage, which has been on the short end of the stick. And now the committee substitute goes the other way. I'm more interested in the original bill.
Do you have anything else?
Yes, sir. Because the Senator Fitcher brought to my mind, I would like to give you, sir, a House research paper I had done this year, which would directly get into the question that he asked about what options are available. And I asked House research to find out what has been done in the Southern 48s in the last 5 years for student housing, what was the number one method of getting money and so on. And I think you'll find this report really updated, most interesting.
Let me go back to Senator Hopper's question, because I think that we have to be pragmatic. And I hear Senator Vic Fisher saying that the committee substitute and a letter of intent, and I think the letter of intent could be stronger, as I mentioned, will bring the housing along online just as quickly as a cash appropriation. And I heard you concede that the committee substitute approach may have a better chance of winning legislative approval and the governor's approval. I thought I heard that. If those premises are right, you know, there's sometimes the difference between doing good and looking good. And I, in terms of the student housing question, I would rather do good than look like a hero in another losing battle. I think we all would. What is your comment?
I would like to clarify. I'm glad you brought that up, sir, my statement with Senator Fisher's letter of intent bill. It definitely would have more support because I feel the legislators that have been antagonistic to Anchorage campus in the past will feel bored. Now we got it out. That's the reason it will succeed.
I would rather
no commitment whatsoever.
There's nothing wrong with doing both if you can do both. Is Senator Halpert?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't think Senator Fisher's proposal is unreasonable. I think that's the kind of proposal that we all looked at and tried to work with for the past 3 or 4 years. It's gotten to the point where I personally feel that I'm not as interested in voting for facilities in other parts of the state when other parts of the state don't seem to want to support the Anchorage campus. And it's gotten regional, I think, in defense, not in attack. But, you know, I would have said yes last year, yes the year before, and yes the year before that. But that last veto just kind of, that was the end of it for me.
Just tell me, on that point, since Bishop, we would have been exactly in line with Fairbanks had they not done, and I'll show you the news article with one of our good senators that bragged in the campaign, he got the darn thing vetoed. So we would have been online this year had there not been politics.
Yeah, I'm sure that you would not accept my assurance, but if you would accept it, I would assure you they would not get vetoed this time around or next year for actual construction.
So I think if we're in a winning ball game right now for the first time, I really think that Anchorage has a chance of winning on this battle. You gentlemen, for the first time in the 4 years I've been down here, have really pursued the interest of university. We've never had that on the Sanders before. On the other side, Representative Vance is a good man. He believes in the university, and he wholeheartedly supports the Fairbanks campus, which is right. And the House did the bill, and we didn't get our fair chance. Now, for the first time, Senators, on the House side and on the Senate side, because you gentlemen are in control, we control the ball game. Why give the ball away?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we will have as much control next year as we have this year. My approach to this is simply that we have a choice between spending $43 million this year on housing or spending $23 million on housing and accomplishing exactly this year and accomplishing the same result and maybe finding some alternative housing financing approach next year. If not, we will have the same power, we'll have the same ability to get the money next year as we do now. The extra $20 million this year would mean that $20 million worth of other capital projects will have to be dumped from the budget. And it'll probably be $20 million or a proportion share out of Anchorage.
Mr. Chairman, with that logic in mind, I would think that the way to do it would be then to delete Section 3 of the committee substitute, allowing us all to be in equal status when we get to next year with plans before us. We go together forward, or we don't go together at all. We don't go forward at all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for the hearing.
Are there other witnesses on Senate Bill 19 or the committee substitute for Senate Bill 19? Tara?
Senator Fisher's done a lot of my talking. Fairbanks is bid ready right now, and we'd really like to get construction started so that in the fall of 84, hopefully, we can have people in our dormitory. He's also right in that Fairbanks is not ready to go with a revenue bonding. We can't afford it at this time with the number of residents on our campus. Our chancellor has assured us, and we feel that he knows what he's talking about, that once we get a direct appropriation for our first phase one of the housing complex, that future phases could be built through bonding, and I suppose that dormitory complexes in Anchorage and Juneau, that would be another option, that the money from that could go towards those. To Fairbanks, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have our project bid ready and the others not bid ready and not fund ours, to wait for the others to catch up, or to hold back just because the others aren't at the same level that we are. We support housing in Anchorage and Juneau, I'd say especially in Anchorage, simply because there are a lot of Fairbanks students that are in programs that are cross-enlisted with Anchorage, such as the nursing students from Fairbanks, who have a lot of difficulty when they go to Anchorage and have to enroll in Anchorage schools. We'd like to see the $11 million, the full $11 million funded for our dormitory complex and Fairbanks as soon as possible. And we'd like to see the planning money go into Anchorage and Juneau so that next year they could get their dorms built.
Are there any questions? Thank you very much. I'm glad that, do your student government
reaching an agreement that all three students or all three campuses should have housing. We went into it with anxious feeling that we had lots of housing and that possibly we would need it. But through talking with them, I think we've convinced them that our need for housing is as great as their need, and that neither one should compete with the other. Just because we're ahead of them in having housing doesn't mean that we don't need more, but it doesn't mean that anxious doesn't need it either.
Mr. Clark, you may not even want to answer it. But let's assume, you know, we all realize the shortage of money, and if you had to make a choice of housing versus placement, with this funding, which is what you would choose?
Housing.
Over placement?
Right now, yeah.
Just wanted to echo what Ms. Hart said and also what Representative Martin said. I think as we understand from the testimony today, a lot of the Anchorage delegation, and I can speak to somewhat University of Alaska Anchorage student government, were very gun-shy. We come down here and the legislature, when they campaign, they say, our number one priority is student housing. As soon as they come down here, the doors are closed and Fairbanks ends up with student housing. I'm not saying that Fairbanks doesn't deserve student housing. They deserve it. I think the point, and I support Senator Fisher's committee substitute, but I think the point is that Anchorage feels that the need for housing is all three campuses, and that we would like to see an equal basis shown for all three campuses. We're tired of it coming down to, you know, inner squabbles and inner dealings in the last days of the session. That's basically it. I think it's important that we give it, because I know quite frankly that if Representative Martin and his counterparts in the Senate go back to Anchorage and don't have student housing, it may be good to change their address and change their name.
Should I change Mike to Paul?
Mike came an armored guard around your house, but and seriously, there's a, especially among the student government, there's a great deal of anxiety. They feel that the need for student housing is now, housing is very tight.
So we understand that.
Yeah.
The argument here is over method, not, and really tactics, not objective.
Senator Moss?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David, I'm not opposed to housing in all three places. But the point is, we have already finished the planning, the engineering, and everything else in the Fairbanks area. We are appropriating $1 million for the planning of student housing at Anchorage. That's the first step. That's going to take a year. Fairbanks is ready. And I think the same thing applies to the UNO campus as far as the housing is concerned. It's very infrequent that you see the money put out for a project, bam, just like this, and the whole amount of money. You tie up a lot of money that can go into other things. Your classroom facilities, for example, could very well be affected if we put the full amount in there for the planning. And I'm not opposed to campus housing at all three. That's Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau. And even in some cases, in the community college. I'm very supportive of it. But I just want to know that I think we should go ahead and finish up Fairbanks deal. I don't think you're going to see him come back to the trough for quite a while, perhaps.
Senator Moss, I agree with you. We shouldn't put the cart before the horse. But I think the point that I'm trying to make is that I agree with Senator Fisher's report. What I'm concerned about, and I think what's been brought up already, and I think Representative Martin's statement, was that, and I think that this committee is already aware of it, and I'd just like to echo it, that Anchorage students, I can't speak for Anchorage students because I don't go to school there, but I am from the Anchorage area. Anchorage students are concerned about it, and they just don't want it, they don't want to feel like they've gotten burned again this year. And I don't think that Senator Fisher's proposal is doing that, but I think that should be taken up, being aware of the committee.
Of course, it may be advantageous to do something for Anchorage twice, $1 million this year and the rest in 1984.
Yeah, that's right. Election is next year, so.
Otherwise, they'll forget if we do it all again.
And your poor kid, you're going to be better off.
Another idea that might alleviate some of my concerns, and I think, you know, Senator Fisher's got a reasonable proposal, but it is that we're so gun-shy based on the past. But what about adding a section which provides the Anchorage Housing actual funding with a delayed effective date?
In Juneau.
Yeah.
That wouldn't bother me so long as the intent clearly states that we want a report in time for the next legislative session. Advising us whether any alternative revenue-based or other funding mechanisms might be available. I think that's a good way out.
In other words, the cash would be appropriated with an effective date of 1984.
Right.
But if we received a report in the meantime indicating that there was alternative financing, we could look at that.
And
reappropriate the money or amend it. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a real good solution.
I'm not sure. My question. What kind of line we're looking at? How much?
Well,
how do we know?
It's in the Board of Regents' priority list.
I know, but I'm looking here at the study. Well, why have the study then and
it's
the
designed.
Planning and the preparation
designed.
For engineering plans and stuff like that? How do you know what it's going to cost? Is it a guesstimate or what?
These are estimates based on a lot of experience in building dormitories, and as Representative Martin indicated, there's enough of a model in Fairbanks where they've built housing that they can make these projections for Anchorage and Juneau. In Anchorage and Juneau, the engineering is probably more involved because they're working with new sites. They have to do site selection and so on, and they head to in Fairbanks. But yeah, I think that it would be very appropriate if the amounts are not correct. We can amend the appropriation next year. But what we'd be doing, and I fully agree with Senator Halford, is we would be making completely clear that the money will be there, that this is not a political game going on, that Anchorage is being frozen out again. But we're also covering ourselves with respect to alternative means, and we're not saddling this year's budget with an extra $20 million.
Well, I suspect we are.
I like the idea because I have a haunting feeling, as I said before, that we could come back 1984, we may get a budget message from the governor saying, gee whiz, oil prices have fallen again. We have to revise all our capital spending. They're revising the one they did last month right now. Everybody's going to take an X percent cut. We might get caught in the political whirl again. And it's a lot easier to get something done once than to have to do it twice. So I think your recommendation is very well taken. We may not all agree, but I...
Mr. Chairman, might I make another comment?
Yes, sir.
We had $8.5 million put into a green elevator system. The legislature approved it, the governor approved it, and it even went through a court case. All three branches of the government went through it, says, hey, here's $8.5 million, you do this with it. So the point I'm looking at here, the administration against looking in a different direction, you can still lose it. But we'll have, I think, sufficient votes to override his veto.
You pointed that out on the floor, and I think correctly so. That's another reason why I...
We hope there will not happen again.
I mean, that's a law that we've got there. That,
Senator Paul Fisher.
Chairman, under the present scenario, then, Mr. Senator Halford's idea, what we're talking about then is in the case of Fairbanks campus, they would go right ahead and go into the construction phase.
Yes.
And the rest would be planning, and hopefully there would be another section that would apply to the planning phase of the T&I Princeton Community College also. Colleague had talked about earlier, since he was there.
Pardon?
So I would hope that that would somewhere appear in here so that he could satisfy the housing needs of what the four critical areas are.
Well, I will ask Ms. Dietrich to have the committee substitute drawn with the Kenai matter in it and with the effective date as to Anchorage, Juneau, and Kenai. You don't have designs yet, do you?
No.
A year off.
Okay, if I may, Mr. Chairman, what we're talking about in the submit a substitute to move back in the case of, we'll take the first one, we say $1 million for the plans for student housing and Anchorage. We assume that that would be a $10 million construction project. We assume that 10% is the figure for the engineering and, okay.
The million would be effective immediately.
Right.
And the 10 million effective next year.
Mr. Chairman?
Very much.
I'd be comfortable with that. But I also want an assurance that we don't lose 11 million in Fairbanks by a red line veto of the governor.
We'll be with you.
We'll be with you all the way.
Okay.
Get here with us.
Yes.
Are you with us?
I'm for the bill. I'm going for the bill. Yeah. I'm not arguing about the
You're for the bill on the merits.
I just want to make sure that my constituents get what they're asking for.
We are, too.
Mr. Martin, are you happier?
I think so, but I wanted to make one suggestion. I'm not quite sure, but I just wanted to make one suggestion I think you all accept at the end of the people. Could we say ACC UAA student housing? Because we got to that problem.
Yeah.
This shows what happens when we reason together, Senator Paulson.
Mr. Chairman, just one clarification point or question to make sure that I understand. We're still talking about the 9.9 requirement. That stayed the same. Section 2, that 1 million would stay the same, but there would be a $10 million section for construction.
Yeah, two sections. A construction section for Juneau with a delayed effective date, a construction section
right, okay.
for Anchorage with a delayed effective date, and add a third section, which is needs assessment planning section for Kenai.
Okay, then in the case of Kenai, though, we're also talking around the second section, 5.8 million for construction of housing, as we are in all other campuses.
Where was that on the priority list?
Which year are you talking about, I guess? I didn't see the great book. I don't have any. Where's Senator Gill? I think he might
Well, let's bring it back with that in.
Put that in, okay. That would be fine.
If there's nothing else on SB 19, I'd like to have a motion on record on SJR 1, which we are ready to circulate with the attached opinion. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Fisher, sir.
I move the committee report out SJR 1 with a due pass and individual recommendations together with the attached opinions for and against.
Are we ready to call for the question on this motion? Those in favor of Senator Vic Fisher's motion will say aye.
Aye.
Three ayes. Opposed?
Aye.
They're voting aye. One negative. I'll now, with the motion being, the motion is adopted, I will circulate the report on the resolution for distribution.
So we're going to send that to a neutral party, and whichever one agrees with the better explanation, that's what you come back
yes,
with.
Yes, it's coming next to me on the